colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call interim report third quarter 2019 of BMW AG. We have here Oliver Zipse, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG in charge of finance. The gentleman will begin by giving you an overview of the business development, and after that, as always, you have time to ask your questions. So, Mr. Zipse has the floor. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In recent years, much has been written about how car manufacturers need to change their business model. What people don't talk enough about is the fact, however, that the real transformation is taking place in the vehicle itself. And that is exactly where the real challenge lies. And that's decisive for success or failure in our industry. Our mission at BMW Group is therefore to make it fit for the future for our growing customer base worldwide. This is where we can make full use of our strengths. On the one hand, our business environment remains volatile, dominated by political changes in direction and emotional discussions. On the other hand, there are a number of very stable trends that support our business model. It is in this environment that we operate with a clear focus. What are the capabilities and how can we make the most of them to benefit our business? What are the really important decisions when it comes to mobility? And what do our customers want and what do they really need? These factors form the basis of our strategic actions. We do not see our strategy as a one-off, all-encompassing task, but rather as an ongoing process that we need to constantly fine-tune and adapt quickly and in an agile manner. Our strategic work is based on a clear competence profile of the BMW Group. Our core expertise lies in the premium vehicle, optimized for the desires of our target group and their connectivity needs. Our further development of the vehicle represents a viable and profitable business model today and also in the long run. And we are consistently concentrating on the customer. This is key to staying ahead of tough competition in the long run. And it's equally important if we want to succeed in the shift towards climate neutrality called for by politics and society. This is what we also want to achieve as a company, as an integral part of society that has been and always will be a large part of who we are. The same applies to sustainable mobility, as to all our products, technologies and innovations. The solution that wins in the end will be the one accepted by customers. Today we sell premium vehicles in around 116 countries, and this already makes it clear how diverse our customers' needs are. This applies to customers as individuals with their specific everyday mobility needs, and it applies more than ever on a regional level in the main regions of the world, Europe, Asia and the Americas. And it is also increasingly true at a local level, where needs differ from one city to the next and from one region to the next. No less diverse are the legal and technical regulations we face worldwide. As a global company, the BMW Group has already established its own production and value creation in the major regions worldwide. We will now be focusing even more on this growing differentiation. In China, the US and Europe, we are purposely seeking dialogue with local experts to discuss relevant regional requirements and needs. And these insights gained will be integrated directly into our strategic approach. This will enable us to offer tailored products, drivetrains, equipment options and services in these regions in the future. At the same time, we're gaining a better understanding of our customers and improving our customer-centric approach. One example of this is China, where our customers are significantly younger. Vehicle connectivity is an important purchasing consideration for them. Continued strong growth in overall prosperity is also affecting the market for premium vehicles. I have already met with Premier Li Keqiang twice since taking office as CEO, and I have the impression the BMW Group is highly relevant in China. People listen to our opinion and regard us as a sought-after partner. Soon, I will also travel to the USA. Individual mobility will remain a stable long-term business prospect in all regions of the world, not only China. And we want to make the most of our opportunities in a growing global car market. And our goal is to outperform the premium segment. It is our goal to be better than the premium segment. In the third quarter of 2019, the BMW Group reported growth in its core markets in all major regions. In Asia and China, despite the model changeover for the BMW 3 Series long wheelbase, in the Americas and the US, despite a stagnant market, and in Europe, despite uncertainty over Brexit, and in our domestic market, Germany. As a result, our third quarter delivery rose year on year to over 610,000 vehicles, an increase of 3.6%. In other words, we are bucking the trend. We also achieved a new all-time high in sales in both the third quarter and the first 9 months for BMW and Rolls-Royce. And the brand Mini also posted growth. BMW Motorrad is also heading for its ninth consecutive record year. In the third quarter, it reported a growth of almost 10%. And yesterday, at the EICMA, we presented three new production models for 2020. Our financial figures for the third quarter were as follows. Group earnings before tax, over 2.2 billion euros. That's an increase of 23.4% over the same period of last year. Net profit in the group, over 1.5 billion euros, up by 11.5%. And the EBIT margin in the automotive segment was 6.6%. Despite challenging conditions, we aim to achieve our target range of 8 to 10% in the long term. That remains our underlying goal. It is also what the capital markets expect, and we are working systematically on this. In light of the positive development in the third quarter, we are able to confirm our guidance for the financial year 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest model initiative in BMW Group's history continues. As well as attractive models, it also includes different drive technologies and the latest standards in connectivity. We see this as an effective contribution towards limiting climate change and reducing emissions. If we turn to our customers, they look first and foremost for the vehicle segment that best suits their lifestyle and mobility needs. And then they think about the best drivetrain that would suit their needs, fully electric or plug-in hybrid or an efficient combustion engine or diesel. Above all, our customers always expect a true BMW regardless of the drive. And we are able to offer customers the model they want. For example, a BMW 5 Series sedan or an X3. And in addition to that, we can offer them the model of choice with different drive technologies. This is what we call the power of choice. For this purpose, we're designing the next generation of our vehicle platforms from 2021 to be flexible for rear and front wheel drives. We can manufacture various drivetrains on one architecture and integrate them into our plant structures. We're also capable of integrating vehicles customized for e-mobility, such as the iNEXT, at our plant in Dingolfing from 2021. For a customer, it is not a noticeable difference regarding the vehicle architecture on which the car has been built, and or whether it's a purely battery electric platform. We expect e-mobility to make significant advances from 2021 on, once the European Union's new CO2 standards take effect. We remain strongly committed to meet regulatory requirements in the EU and worldwide. Before we've complied with legislation and been well prepared in advance to implement any necessary changes, for example with WLTP and RDE1, and this now also applies to RDE2 and the NCAP crash test. RDE2 means further tightening of the standards for nitrogen oxide emissions. This will apply to new vehicle types from 2020 on and all new vehicle registrations from 2021. The European NCAP crash test requires all vehicle classes to have a whole series of expanded assistance systems from 2022 on, and these requirements will increase further in 2024. Our new fully electric vehicles will be ready for launch right on time for the EU's new CO2 standards, the BMW iX3 from 2020, the BMW i4 from 2021, and our new technology flagship, the iNEXT, also from 2021. The biggest market for the iX3 will be China. That is why we will produce it there and export it to the rest of the world. As you can see, we are clearly benefiting from our experience with electromobility. As you know, our BMW i3 has been available since 2013. It's not just an e-mobility pioneer. Still today, it remains a true game changer and continues to be a benchmark for a sustainable approach. Our customers appreciate this, and i3 sales are climbing from year to year. We've already sold more than 160,000 i3s altogether. In the year to end of September, sales were up by about a fifth compared to the same period previous year. In October, it was 3.4%. And this is why we continue to offer updates and make it even more attractive. Since 2016, the BMW Group has been a market leader in electromobility in Germany. Currently, our market share of electric vehicles is 21% in our home market. The first fully electric Mini will also be launched before the end of the year. This is an important step for a brand that has always been at home in the urban environment. Customers have been waiting for it, and the number of registered prospective customers reflects this. 78,000 so far. To step up the pace of electromobility, we're also making headway with battery cell technology. Next week, our new competence center for battery cells in Munich will begin operation. There, we will pool and deepen our comprehensive know-how in battery cell technology. Let's not forget, for over 10 years, we have been developing and analyzing battery cells. We're currently working on the cells of the coming decades. This way, we can influence the functional performance and the cost of the battery to our benefit. Already today, we produce prototypes of battery cells. This has the advantage that we can specifically request how the battery cells are to be produced regarding their chemical composition and design. In addition, we're able to define in detail the associated production processes. This places us in a strong strategic position. We will then have all options in hand, regardless of how the global market for cells develops. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is wholeheartedly committed to the aims of the Paris Climate Agreement, and we're taking action. Over the past 20 years, we have lowered the CO2 emissions of our European vehicle fleet by an average of 40%. And there will be another slight decrease in our CO2 fleet emissions again this year. This places us in a better position than our competitors. Over the next 2 years, we will continue to increase the amount of electrified vehicles in our lineup. In Europe, we are following an ambitious growth logic for our electrified vehicles. A quarter of our sales volume in 2021, a third in 2025, and half in 2030. Hydrogen fuel cells also remain an option for us in the future. An offer for this drive technology should be possible by the second half of the next decade. Because hydrogen may be relevant as a key element of a renewable energy system. Over the past 2 years, nearly all our series have been newly released onto the market or updated as part of our model initiative, from the BMW 1 Series to the 7 Series, from the X1 to the X7. The areas we're currently focused on
our luxury segment, compact class, X family, plug-in hybrids, and our M models. First, the luxury segment. We further strengthened our position with the BMW brand due to the new 8 Series, 7 Series, and all new X7 models. The 8 Series Grand Coupe has been available since September. It's the best-selling 8 Series model and the most luxurious four-door sports vehicle BMW has ever built. This puts us in a strong position to meet our goal of doubling our sales in the luxury class between 2018 and 2020. Now, for the compact class, the updated X1 has been on the market since September, along with the new BMW 1 Series, which introduces BMW's new interior and exterior design language to the segment. The first time it's based on the BMW front-wheel drive architecture. This allowed us to develop a 1 Series with even better driving dynamics than its predecessor. We combined the front-wheel drive architecture with state-of-the-art chassis technology and near-actuator wheel slip limitation. This innovation, traction control, comes from BMW i. In this way, the new 1 Series sets the benchmark for agility and precision. Next year, the 2 Series Grand Coupe will introduce the successful 4-door coupe concept to the premium compact class. Let's take a look at our BMW X models. One of the reasons they remain highly desirable is that they are more efficient than many comparable models in their class. In the year to date, the X3 and X4 in particular posted strong growth. The X7 has also been well received by our customers since its introduction in March. The X7 is also received very well by customers. The X3 plug-in hybrid will complete our lineup in December, and already next year we will also be presenting a battery electric X3. By the end of the year, we will have 12 fully electric and plug-in hybrid models on the roads. Customers desire our plug-in hybrids because they can use them as their only vehicle. They don't have to worry about range and can get to know e-mobility in everyday driving situations. People are a lot less hesitant about buying a plug-in hybrid than a fully electric vehicle. These cars also have an excellent fuel economy. The BMW 3 Series plug-in hybrid has an average petrol consumption of 1.6 to 1.8 litres. The BMW Group has also conducted a full life cycle CO2 certification for the new BMW 330e sedan, from raw material procurement to supply chain production and use-up phase, all the way to recycling. The plug-in hybrid has an advantage of about 60% over the petrol version if charged with green energy. Even if it is charged during the use phase with the average European electricity mix, the advantage is still over 20%. The 3 Series Touring will also be available as a plug-in hybrid variant next year. BMW M GmbH is more diversified than ever. With the new X3M, X4M and M8 models, the portfolio has been significantly expanded. All new models are now also available from market launch as competition models. In early October, we presented the new X5M and the X6M. Our M GmbH is once again headed for another very successful year. Ladies and gentlemen, the car will continue to play an important role in our lives and our society because it remains relevant to so many people, especially in suburban and rural areas. Therefore, we continue to strongly invest in the transformation of individual mobility. And at the same time, as a responsible company, we ensure that the balance is right between expenses and gains. The mobility services in our joint venture with Daimler, YourNow, are being well received. More than 83 million customers use the services. The number of transactions increased to more than 420 million in September. Digitization adds to the increasing complexity of market and product demands, and it reflects that our industry is becoming more and more challenging. For many in our industry, this challenge represents a problem. We, on the other hand, view it as a real opportunity. Anyone who wants to be successful in the long run must master this growing complexity. At the same time, must be profitable or carry the consequences. The first new players are already experiencing this. And I believe our true strengths have often been underestimated in recent years. This is why I'm emphasizing this today. We are a global high-tech company. Thanks to the expertise of tens of thousands of our well-qualified employees working together in coherent process chains and with our suppliers, every vehicle we build contains a piece of highly advanced technology that benefits our customers. For them, we will continue to take the car to the next level and to make it fit for the future, because we have the technological and financial potential to do so. We have the necessary integration expertise, and we combine efficiency with flexibility. Therefore, we are certain our business model is in fact strengthened by the far-reaching technological change. For us, the way forward is to drive progress ourselves. That's our role. That will remain our focus. And this is responsibility that we're taking on. Thank you for your attention. That was Mr. Zipse. Thank you. And now, Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. In the first 9 months of the year, business development has so far met our expectations. In the third quarter, all segments are on course for growth as planned. As expected, our financial figures have improved from quarter to quarter throughout the year. In a challenging and extremely volatile business environment, we are on track to meet our goals for the full year. Group revenues for the third quarter showed solid year-on-year growth, as expected, reaching 26.67 billion euros. This reflects, in particular, the strong performance of our young product portfolio, as well as positive currency translation effects, among other factors. Specifically, new models like the X3 and X4 are now fully available and proving very popular with our customers. We have significantly expanded our lineup in the highly profitable luxury segment with the new 8 Series models, the new 7 Series and X5, as well as the X7. Overall, our operating business continued to develop in line with our expectations in the third quarter. Thanks to the strong performance of our models in a largely declining market environment, the EBIT margin in your automotive segment reached 6.6% for the quarter, despite continued high upfront investments. The base effect from the high costs associated with the market turbulence resulting from the transition to the WLTP and warranty issues also had a positive impact compared to 2018. As expected, the financial result for the first 9 months was significantly lower than the previous year. In the adequate result, higher BBA earnings were more than offset by the planned current losses of the Euronow companies. However, particularly in urban areas, we see great potential with Euronow to reach new customers, especially in Europe and Latin America. Positive valuation effects in connection with last year's acquisition of DriveNow negatively impacted the year-on-year comparison. The net balance of the one-time appreciation effect from pooling our mobility services with Daimler this year and impairment losses due to adjusted business expectations at individual Euronow companies totaled plus 60 million euros in the year to the end of September. As in the previous quarters, valuation effects from interest rate derivatives significantly dampened the financial result. Group earnings before tax climbed by 23.4% in the third quarter to around 2.25 billion euros. Due to the effects from the previous year I already mentioned, and the overall positive business development, the EBT margin increased year-on-year to 8.4%, despite significantly higher expenses for the development of new technologies. Third quarter research and development costs, according to IFRS, were 14.2% higher than the previous year. In the 9 months to the end of September, they were already up nearly 370 million euros on 2018. The R&D ratio for the same period was slightly below the previous year's figure at 5.9%. Capital expenditure also increased significantly from January to September, reaching €3.31 billion. At 4.4%, the CAPEX ratio for the year-to-date was slightly higher than it was last year. In addition to upfront investments for new models such as the 1 Series, 3 Series and 4 Series, our main focus was on electrification topics and development activities for next generation highly automated driving systems. The production of the Mini Electric began in Oxford this month. The fifth generation of our electric drivetrain, which we developed in-house, will also be on the market next year, beginning with the iX3. We made further upfront investments for the development of new technologies for the iNEX and our next generation infotainment systems as well. Despite headwinds from our many future projects, a lower financial result, as expected, and costs related to the European Commission's antitrust proceedings, pre-tax earnings for the first 9 months totaled €5.06 billion. The EBT margin was 6.8%. This is still a high level in comparison with our competitors and considering the difficult conditions our business is facing. Ladies and gentlemen, we aspire to more than that, because upfront investments in future technologies and e-mobility have to be paid for. That is why we continue to work systematically on those matters that lie in our hands. Through Performance Next, we have been continuously implementing measures to further improve our efficiency for the past 2 years. We intend to realize potential of at least €12 billion across the company in this way by 2022. Around half of this amount will be realized through measures on the sales side, specifically even more systematic data-based sales management all the way to the dealership level, and indirect purchasing topics, including synergies from bundling contracts more widely. Another focus area with significant leverage is the reduction of complexity in the development of new products, as I've already talked about in more detail on other occasions. The full impact of these results will come into effect with the respective model launches. We are also striving to lower personnel costs, direct material costs, and capital expenditure. Many of these measures are already being implemented. We're also optimizing our use of capital through targeted collaborations and partnerships. This will not only have a positive impact on our cost structures, it will also allow us to pool expertise and make us faster. Our partnerships with Daimler on autonomous driving and mobility services are good examples of this. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the individual segments. In the automotive segment, revenues for the first 9 months were slightly higher than the previous year at €64.85 billion. Third quarter revenues, benefiting mainly from positive mix effects from new models such as the 8 Series and X7, as well as currency tailwinds, posted solid growth of 9%. Boosted by the dynamic development in sales, the segment's operating earnings for the third quarter climbed up to €1.52 billion. The previous year's earnings had been substantially impacted by the market turbulence resulting from the transition to WLTP and higher provisions for quality issues. Consequently, the EBIT margin was higher than the previous year at 6.6%. So already mentioned further upfront investments for our ongoing model initiative and electrification dampened earnings. Including the provision we made in the first quarter in connection with the antitrust allegations by the European Commission, EBIT for the year to the end of September totaled €2.67 billion, with a margin of 4.1%. This means we are on course for our adjusted target range of 4.5% to 6.5% for 2019. Pre-tax earnings for the third quarter climbed to 1.53 billion euros in line with the positive business development. Impacted by the planned decrease in the financial result and the provision made in the first quarter in connection with the antitrust allegations by the EU Commission, earnings for January to September were significantly lower year-on-year at 2.99 billion euros. As previously announced, currency and commodity headwinds also dampened earnings. At the end of the first 9 months, free cash flow in the automotive segment totaled 1.024 billion euros, mainly due to lower earnings and a higher inventory build-up than last year for the introduction of new models. Due to the factors I talked about, we expect free cash flow for the full year to come to around 2 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the financial services segment, which once again delivered a strong performance in the third quarter. In addition to healthy portfolio growth, currency tailwinds also had a positive impact. The risk situation also remained very stable. As of 30 September, the segment managed a portfolio of around 5.4 million retail contracts. More than 500,000 new contracts with retail customers were concluded in the third quarter alone. This positive business development is also reflected in segment earnings before tax, which rose by 8.7% during the same period to almost 600 million euros. In the year to the end of September, pre-tax earnings climbed by 5.4% to just under 1.8 billion euros. The motorcycle segment also had a successful third quarter. With sales growth of 9.9%, the operating result also increased to 35 million euros. In the year to the end of September, almost 137,000 motorcycles were delivered to customers. Segment earnings before financial result were up 8.7% to 226 million euros. Accordingly, the EBIT margin was 6.3% for the quarter and 12.1% for the first 9 months. Ladies and gentlemen, we expect this stable business development to continue in all segments throughout the remaining months of the year. We are therefore able to confirm our guidance for 2019 as a whole, assuming that political and economic conditions do not deteriorate significantly. One risk that remains is the uncertainty surrounding the UK's planned withdrawal from the European Union. There is also a possibility the global trade dispute could further escalate, adversely affecting business in the final quarter of the year and beyond. In the automotive segment, we expect a slight increase in deliveries. This development will be driven by our product momentum from new models of the X family, like the X7, the new 1 Series, and a high-volume 3 Series sedan and touring. In Europe, development in the first three quarters has not been as robust as forecast at the start of the year. We have therefore adjusted our volume planning on an ongoing basis over the course of the year to reflect current market developments. During the remaining months of the year, we will maintain a clear focus on earnings quality. Thanks to our flexible production network, we're able to respond quickly to changes in our business environment. China, on the other hand, is currently experiencing stronger growth than predicted. However, this is only partly reflected in our operating result, since it is mostly taking place at our BBA joint venture. We expect the segment's EBIT margin for the full year to be within our adjusted target range of 4.5% to 6.5%. without the effect of the provision we recognised in connection with the antitrust allegations by the European Commission, the margin would be within our original guidance range of 6 to 8%. In the motorcycle segment, we're planning for a solid increase in deliveries. The EBIT margin should remain within our target range of 8 to 10%. In the financial services segment, return on equity should be on par with last year and above our target figure of 14%. As anticipated, the financial result decreased significantly. Therefore, we still expect group earnings before tax to be significantly lower year on year, also as a result of the provision recognized in the first quarter. Despite all the challenges in our current business environment, we find ourselves in a strong competitive position. Ladies and gentlemen, we have ambitious goals. We are working hard to improve our earnings and profitability. This mindset is deeply rooted in our company. We continue to chart our own course, step by step, and with a clear strategic direction. This remains our approach also and especially in a volatile environment. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peter, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. We now have time to take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues to provide the information for conducting the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we begin with the Q&A session. If you'd like to pose a question, push the keys 0 and 1 on your telephone. Your questions will then be taken in the order in which they are asked. To withdraw a question, press 0 and 2. If you're listening over the loudspeaker today, I'd like to ask you to use your telephone receiver to pose your question. First question, please. We have a first question. Stefan Krone, Börsenzeitung. Line is open. Good morning, everyone. I have three questions. This is about your sales margin. 4.1 is what you reached after 4 months. That's still clearly below the reduced range of 4.5% to 6.5%. Can you explain what you're expecting to achieve in the remaining fourth quarter? Then the adjustments in the Your Now companies. I'd like to know, why is it that you made downward adjustments? What are the decisive effects here? Thank you. Well, these were two questions, Mr. Kornick, right? Yes, two. Fine. Dr. Peter. The outlook for the entire year, 4.5% to 6.5% EBIT margin for the entire year. Yes, that is our guidance. Why are we on the right track here? That's because thanks to our product momentum and thanks to the development of our earnings quality, we are quite confident that from the point we're standing at now, in the next 3 months, we will develop towards 4.5% to 6.5%. Mainly the new products, the fully available availability X5, X7, they contributed this. Then the 8 Series will be launched in the market as a Grand Coupe. Then, quite importantly, on the global markets, the 3 Series, Sedan, the long wheelbase that's being introduced in China right now, and especially for the European markets, the new 1 Series. And we are quite confident that it will develop exactly as we expect. Your Now, why did we make adjustments? Well, as is customary, after we formed the joint venture, we met with the management
and with our shareholder partner, and we compared expectations of all verticals and revised them, and I have just presented the result to you. That's quite a normal procedure from our point of view, and we are quite optimistic that especially for Europe and South America as geographic regions, that we have a very strong position with Euronav, or will arrive at a very strong position. Thank you. Next question, please. Oliver Sachgau, Bloomberg. Good morning. Two questions from me as well. First one, we heard from your colleagues and suppliers in the past few weeks that they don't see a recovery in the automotive market in the next month or years even. So how do you see the global outlook for 2020? I don't know if you want to quantify, but how about the volumes? What are you expecting? My question also relates to Euronav. If I've seen this correctly, you had a loss of 92 million in that area. What are your expectations, or do you expect that this segment will become profitable at some stage? Thank you, Mr. Sachgau. Let's begin with Mr. Zipse, answer regarding recovery of automotive markets in the future, and then Dr. Peter. Well, thank you for your questions, Mr. Sachgau. Let's briefly look at the global automotive market and what's happening there, or been happening for the past few years. Since 2017, this market is in a decline. Let's exclude the light duty trucks. We were at about 88 million. This went down to 85 million last year, and 2019 will be below that again. So the total market situation is on a decline, but over the same period, if you look at the premium segment, that segment grew all the time. And as a consequence, the BMW Group this year will achieve a market share of total 9% of the global market, the highest market share ever. And in the premium segment, I mean, we firmly assume that to the global market, as well as due to our product initiatives, we will gain further market share in the premium segment. And now this strongly depends on which segment you're talking about. If it's just the base segment, then of course you have that decline that we've seen for the last few months or even years, different in the regions. In China that's particularly pronounced, but in total on a very high level, we must say. While in the premium segment, this looks differently. So for that question, you really need to look at who you're asking. We're assuming that the markets in our segment will be quite robust. Second part of the question, Euronav, Mr. Peter. Well, maybe a general statement on this. We think this mobility service is quite a relevant field, and it's important for the future. And for that very reason, we set up these five verticals. The third quarter, as planned, was characterized by high capital expenditure. We invested especially in harmonization of IT, which was urgently necessary. And as you can see, when you look at the figures of others, this is a highly competitive environment. Maybe to recall this, we had more than 450 million transactions over this platform. We are present in more than 1,300 cities. There's 83 million customers. And that business field, we are clearly expecting that this field of business in the midterm will make a positive contribution. In such a volatile and competitive environment, I guess it wouldn't really make sense to speculate when exactly in which year or quarter this will happen. But clearly, That's the ambition of the management and of our partners. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasse, Handelsblatt. Good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions, or sets of questions. One relates to the trade dispute you mentioned, which you consider to be a risk for business development. And more specifically, I'd like to know, what about the situation threatening tariffs on car imports from Europe to the US? Most recently, we received some signals stating that these tariffs will probably not be imposed by the US government. So my specific question is, have you also received these signals? How do you assess the situation, and which concessions does the automotive industry in BMW have to make? Mr. Krüger announced, for example, that a plant for producing drive-thru components could be built, an additional one in the US. So I wonder whether you're pursuing this plan now. Are you implementing this? That's my first question. Second question relates to VDA. We know that they're looking for a new president, the Association of German Car Manufacturers. Last night we heard that Mr. Gabriel does not want to take the job. So what's your expectation here of the president or future president of the German Car Manufacturers Association? Or could you also picture that this would be a woman one day? Mr. Fasse, this is Max Schöberl. You can imagine I'll take over the part talking about VDA. We will not speculate publicly. But of course, we could also picture that this next president could be a woman, clearly so. And I may note that the process of the succession of Mr. Mattes is controlled via Ola Tillinus and Mr. Kirchhoff, the two vice presidents. So when in doubt, you need to talk to those two gentlemen. And we will not make any public statements on this. Okay, the trade dispute and the risk, I pass that question to Mr. Zipse. Hello, Mr. Fasse. This question didn't come unexpectedly. What we can say is we have trustful cooperations and meetings and discussions with all parties involved, be it in Germany or the US. Beyond that, please understand that we cannot talk about potential effects on whether something is coming or not. All we can say is that we have cooperative discussions. Well, perhaps a follow-up question. The increase of purchase of components from the US, that's something that Mr. Krüger already suggested at the time, and he said it could be a plant building transmissions together with a partner. Anything happening along those lines? Well, these are two things that you're putting together here. One of them is that the new negotiations with USMCA, which have been going on for 3 years, and these are not related to the trade dispute. These things are easily thrown together, but that's not fair. Now, for the USMCA, there are certain requirements, but there are questions relating to the degree of detail and the components actually affected. And here we're talking with the authorities in Washington. Very intensive discussions. And as part of these discussions, there will be a decision as to whether further components will be localized or not, also in the field of transmission. Transmission that includes combustion components, drivetrain components, transmission and e-motor components. And we're having a discussion about whether it makes sense which components to localize where. Okay, thank you, Mr. Fasse. Next question, please. Gabriel Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Good morning. I have several questions, not just one. The car summit yesterday, what do you say about the increase of purchase bonuses, and where do you expect additional momentum, and for which models? What will be the effects be on plug-in hybrids, and how are the talks with employees are going? Mr. Peter said there's different demands. That means you also want to reduce personnel costs. How are the talks going with the employees, and will you reach an agreement in December as planned? Then CO2 goals, you want to achieve them, but I guess you're far away. You said there was a slight decline this year. Can you further specify? Thank you, Mr. Wirth. I'd say we'll begin with Mr. Zipse, the car summit. Well, Mr. Wirth, thanks for your question. You're talking about the meeting we had on Monday with the Chancellor. I could say it was a very cooperative and very constructive atmosphere, and there was total agreement among all those present in the room that the further extension of electromobility must be increased. There's two impeding factors here. One is the development of the infrastructure for charging, and the second one was the range of the cars. First point, charging infrastructure. We made a commitment here as part of an accelerated expansion of the charging infrastructure also, you know, within the group structures. BMW Group made a commitment, 4,100 charging stations should be installed by 2021. 50% of these charging stations will also be publicly accessible. In total, that means that the additional 15,000 charging stations should be installed in the short or mid-term. That's quite a lot if you compare. In Germany, currently, we only have 26,000 charging stations, so that's a substantial contribution of the automotive industry. Now, the bonuses that you mentioned, there's two things to talk about here. First one was the new introduction of a bonus. We're talking about 40,000 euros net based on the list price, and every bonuses below that will be increased by 15%. You know, there is a premium or a bonus today, and each of these bonuses will be increased by 50%. For bigger classes above that, it'll be 20%. There were intensive discussions about an upper limit, which is 60,000 euros at the moment, and we want to still accelerate that process so that we suggested to increase that limit or even eliminate it completely. On that evening, we agreed on 65,000 euros, but the discussions are ongoing, and we still advocate lifting or eliminating that limit. The second thing that's probably even more important than the limit of what can be subsidized, we suggested that young used cars that haven't received a subsidy yet, that these be included in the program so that e-mobility can be further expanded and accelerated. Now, this has been accepted, and in order to exclude that there's double subsidies on individual cars, what will be done is, something will be worked out in this respect. So we as BMW Group, we are quite happy with how that summit went, and that's a good signal for the future. Thank you, Mr. Zipse. Mr. Wirth, I would like to answer your third question, Mr. Wirth. CO2, perhaps to recall, between 1995 and 2018, CO2 emissions of our fleet sold in Europe was reduced by 42%. Last year, we were at 128 grams. For the current year, we're planning another slight decline. Why slight? That's because important plug-in hybrid models, such as in particular the 3 Series plug-in hybrid and the X5 plug-in hybrid, were not available throughout the full year. They were introduced fairly late in the year, just around now, actually. But I'm firmly convinced that these products will be well received by the market, and they will then help us to achieve the goals for 2020 and 21. Penalty payments are definitely not a strategic option for us. That's a fact. Now, turning to your question of personnel expenses, yes, that's one of the topics we are working on at the moment. in a quite consistent and structured approach in the talks with the employee representatives. We in particular focus on filling vacancies or reducing 40-hour contracts to 35-hour contracts, then reducing temp workers, or then an adjustment of participation in bonus payments. And as far as headcount is concerned, we're doing quite well this year. We're even building up headcount in some fields, like in the plants in Mexico or electrification. In a few days, we'll open up a battery center where we'll hire engineers. And still, in the bottom line, in the headcount, we're pretty even, which shows that our approach is working. And I'm quite optimistic that in this year still, we will reach an agreement with the employee representatives. Thank you, Mr. Peter. We're nearing 11 o'clock. I'd say we have time to take two more questions, brief questions if possible. Next question, please. Marco Engelmann, DPA. Good morning. Dr. Peter, you reduced the expectations as to free cash flow. Do shareholders have to expect a reduction in dividend? And then, what's the volume planning for Europe? I've seen you've reduced it. By how much exactly? Can you tell us what the further reductions will be in the fourth quarter? Thank you to Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Engelmann, our expectations of cash flow were not reduced. We're exactly on the value that we communicated a couple of months ago. Then dividend payments, I guess you can guess what my answer will be. As always, we will meet with the supervisory board, board of management in the first quarter and come up with a proposal. What will be considered in making that proposal? Well, first of all, there is a target dividend of 30 to 40% of group net profit. Other factors come into play as well, earnings quality, for example, and as you rightly mentioned, cash flow performance and also the forecast as to future business development. And it's on that basis that we will then take that decision. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Mr. Engelmann, there was a question about volume in Europe. Well, Mr. Peter, well, volume planning in Europe or for Europe. To begin with, how are we doing in the three major markets? And I think we're pretty strong in China. We're doing well. Supported, for example, by our good SUV portfolio in the United States, where the X3, the X4, the X5, X7 play a very important role. Now, in Europe, due to the economic conditions, we have a slightly declining sales volume. Germany is developing positively, slightly positively, especially with the X models and UKL. Well, the development in Europe in the fourth quarter will be supported by this, and this is why we're not overly pessimistic. The introduction of important models such as the 3 Series Touring and the 1 Series, these will support volume sales in Europe. These are all vehicles which to a large degree will be marketed in Europe. They have been newly launched. And the orders are developing absolutely in line with our expectation. Okay, last request for the floor. Edward Taylor, Reuters. Thank you. I have a question about the annual production of X7. Is it true that dealers have already bought them, and is that perhaps the reason for your confidence that you will stay within the planned range? Thank you, Edward Taylor. That is the right question for the chairman of the board, as the last question to be answered. Mr. Zipse? Well, Mr. Taylor, that car is an extremely successful product. At the moment, we're at the limit of our production capacities in our plant in Spartanburg. So actually, we can simply not keep up with our production. There's high demand on the market, and that's a very good signal. And all markets globally that have that car on offer surprise us with the large number of orders coming in, because this is a car that has a very wide range of uses. It's a family car. It's not just a car you can use as a premium car, but it's also quite practical. So that supports our strategy in the luxury segment of diversifying in that segment. And the hybrids, they're also much sought after. And that gives us confidence for this year and next year that this car will continue to develop quite well. Thank you, Mr. Zipse. Colleagues, thank you for your questions. Have a nice day, and thanks for having joined us. Goodbye.